I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's something when politicians go against their own party. We have talked about Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy a couple of times on this show, how there are many, many people here in the state of Louisiana that are so angry at him that just want him to go away because he was one of the seven Republicans in Washington, D.C. who voted to impeach former president and fellow Republican, Donald Trump. Anytime in the last week, Bill Cassidy has posted something on social media publicly, I just look at the comments, and there are people going up one side of him, going down the other side of him, you suck, and blah, 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 blah. And he said he voted to impeach Trump, and even though he was Republican, he was only one of the seven Republicans to do so. He said because he thought that what Trump did with his speech, which he says led to the people rushing and storming United States Capitol building on January 6th, he said that Donald Trump deserved to be impeached for a second time because of that. Our other senator, both of them are Republicans, our other senator, the junior senator, John Kennedy, said no, not waste of time with him, who's a former president now. And so Bill Cassidy, the boy, anytime since he's voted that way, anytime he has put something on social media or said something, you look at the comments and boy, it's pretty rough. But he was just reelected this past November, and United States senators get six-year terms. So he still has five-plus years to be a United States senator. You cannot recall a United States senator. And so Cassidy has over 5 years to just deal with the backlash. And who knows what's going to happen 5.5 years from now. You know, many people say that he did himself in with that vote. 5.5 years is a long time, and he very well could be voted out in 5.5 years by angry Republicans here in Louisiana. But that's a long time from now, and you know, he could have some other job that he's looking to do by then. There's another instance of a politician whose party is not happy with him right now, many in his party. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who for a while, people were calling him presidential. Not long after coronavirus started, about a year ago, the New York governor would get on, would give a press conference regularly, and CNN would run it. He would get on national television more so than the president of the United States, Donald Trump, because Donald Trump wasn't having regular press conferences about coronavirus after it started. And so you had CNN and others who would give the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, all of their airtime, and many people, many celebrities said, now this is what a president is supposed to look like. This is how a president is supposed to talk after such a major problem like a pandemic. They were saying, you know, our president, Donald Trump, is not having these speeches to the country. You're not giving speeches to the country. But here's a guy, the governor of New York, who is actually taking this thing seriously, unlike the president. And here's a guy that is calming the nation when it comes to coronavirus. Well, if you followed any of the news, you realized while he was doing that, and before he did that, he was also taking people who were infected with coronavirus, and he was sending them to nursing homes, which was a huge problem because old people, senior citizens, were the most vulnerable people, along with the already sick and the obese, when it came to people who would die from coronavirus if they got it. Over 99% of people survive coronavirus when they get it. But the ones who were the most vulnerable were those three groups, the senior citizens. And so the governor of New York was sending people who were testing positive to coronavirus, sending them to stay in nursing homes. And that led to so many people dying, senior citizens in nursing homes dying. It led to so many of those people dying. Well, now we're finding out the governor of New York, along with some of his staff, were covering up the deaths. We know that New York City was ground zero for a little while when it came to coronavirus. But we didn't know that the governor of New York was going out of his way, he and his staff, to cover up the amount of people, the number of people, senior citizens, who were dying because he sent people with coronavirus in to live in nursing homes. Well, now it's all coming out, and now there are plenty of other Democrats, because he happens to be a Democrat, Andrew Cuomo. There are plenty of other Democrats who are now saying, dude, this guy threatened me when I questioned him about it. This guy did so much wrong. His political career looks like it's over because of this. He's still governor of New York, but take any presidential terms away from his name. Now there are more people coming out saying that Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, threatened to destroy him and threatened to destroy them if they didn't lie along with him when it comes to the cover-up of how many people actually died in New York because of coronavirus. The latest, New York State Assemblyman Democrat Ron Kim, his assertion this week that not only did Governor Andrew Cuomo threaten to destroy him over the state's nursing home crisis, this guy, the New York State Assemblyman Ron Kim, again, another Democrat, he's just the latest saying that the New York governor bullied him and used bullying tactics. Ron Kim, the New York State Assemblyman, said no adult has ever spoken to him like that in his life when he was on the phone with Andrew Cuomo. He said, I'm an adult, you know, yeah, no one has ever spoken to me like that before in my life. Literally saying, you go along with me or I will destroy you. Cuomo asked him, are you a lawyer? And the assemblyman's like, excuse me? And Cuomo said, are you a lawyer? And the assemblyman from New York said, well, no. He said, then I will destroy you. He wanted to make sure he wasn't a lawyer first, because he knew what he was doing legally was wrong. But there are more people now coming out saying that Governor Andrew Cuomo did that. And there's a bunch of Democrats that are saying, what the hell did you do? What? So much like a lot of Republicans here in Louisiana are turning on Bill Cassidy, the senator, for voting, being the one of the seven Republicans to vote to impeach Trump. There's a bunch of Democrats now up in New York saying, hey, Andrew Cuomo, what are you doing? And it looks like this is going to end his political career. As a matter of fact, CNN even this week, finally, after being pressured by many people, many Democrats, CNN finally is reporting about this, about not only the cover-up, and he's trying to cover up how many people he sent to their deaths in nursing homes, but he's threatening, but the fact that he's threatening other people to help him with the cover-up, other Democrats, and the Democrats are saying, no, I'm not doing this. Finally, CNN is reporting this week after being pressured by a lot of people. And, you know, Cuomo, the governor of New York, used to go on with his brother, Chris Cuomo, who's got a primetime show there on CNN, and they never talked about any of this stuff. It was all yuck, yuck, laugh, laugh. Oh, look at how cute the brothers are on television. Well, now, there ain't nothing cute about it. And when CNN now has finally just started this week to say, wait a minute, what are you doing, Governor Cuomo? It's over for him. His political career is over.
It always amazes me whenever you hear a story like this, when there's one whistleblower that says something, then all of a sudden you find out that like months before that, they had other people that come out and tell their story about what happens. But maybe I have a different type of mentality. But my thing is, if we all knew this at this time, if Andrew Cuomo was bullying people, why didn't they come out then? Why do they have to wait for that one break?
It's taking a little while. It's hard for people to turn on their own party, Coleman.
Even if it's not a party thing, it's a threat. If you're threatening me, that shouldn't be a political party thing. That should be like, this guy just threatened me. Somebody do something about it. When I try to put myself in their situations, and if I was one of those people that were threatened in any way, shape, or form, and I knew it was a big deal and lives are literally at stake because people are dying and there's misinformation out there because numbers are being fudged, I would be the first one to say, hey, look, I have nothing to do with this. Somebody come take a look at this.
Well, and now and there's a lot of celebrities who supported him, including led by Robert De Niro, the actor, you know, all the anti-Trumpers. They were like, this is the guy. This is who we should be following. This is who we should be listening to. This guy's very presidential. And a bunch of those celebrities, I bet, are going to go back and try to erase a lot of their tweets.
But that's a CYA move. They're just doing it to cover their ass. They don't really care either way. They just know they have to distance themselves from Cuomo.
Well,
if
now they,
Cuomo
they,
is going but, down, they have to say, hey, I had nothing to do with
but
it.
But they look ridiculous now saying how great he looked compared to Trump. They're looking ridiculous now because his career is over because of this. And each day that goes on, we're hearing more and more. He's still taking no blame. He's blaming the federal government. Hey, I just did what I was told. But again, people make mistakes, but it's the cover-up. It's the lying that usually does them in. And his mistake was sending all the people into nursing homes that had COVID-19. But his cover-up now, trying to cover up and lie about how many people actually died, that's what's going to do him in. It's really something to see. And I just brought up Senator Cassidy here to compare, give you a local angle. It's the same kind of thing when people in the own political party, when they start turning on each other. We got a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. Another cold one, very cold this morning. Bundle up when you head out this morning. And have you seen what's going on next door in the state of Texas? It is an absolute disaster in the state of Texas. Millions and millions and millions of people without power, without water. There are families with young children that are living in their cars right now. It is going to warm up in Texas pretty soon, a couple of more days. But I've been looking, and so many apartments, because it got so cold there, their water pipes are breaking, and apartments are getting flooded. People are being left without a place to stay because of this. And Texas, they are looking into their energy system. You know, I believe they're the only state in America that has their completely own energy system. They're not connected to any federal energy outlet. And and authorities in Texas now are looking into why. And I know it's the cold weather, and that's why many people have been left without power there. And that's why many people, their homes are being flooded because it's so cold, the pipes are breaking. But authorities there are looking into how and why this could happen. And they never want this, obviously, to happen again. But just down here in Louisiana and Texas, we're not used to the very, very, very cold weather. We're just not used to it. And did you see there are some Popeye's chicken outlets who ran out of chicken because of the very cold weather? They sold all of their chicken, and they haven't been able to get deliveries in because of the weather. And even some Popeye's around here, around the New Orleans metropolitan region, I saw where there was a Popeye's, I believe, in Kenner that ran out of chicken. And they weren't able to get more delivered because the weather is so rough. I saw in San Antonio, Texas, where there was a Domino's pizza place that went through almost an entire week's worth of food in just a day or two, because so many people are depending on them to eat because they can't cook anything in their own kitchens. And they say that the some of the employees at some of these Domino's pizza places in Texas, they're losing their marbles.
I can understand why. Think about it. If it's too cold for you to go out and get your own food and make your own food. Then you call like a high school kid that drives a Nissan Sentry or something like that, and you want this dude to risk his life to drive through the icy roads and the cold conditions to come deliver you a pizza. Yeah, I would lose my marbles as well. As I have been doing.
Coleman, you're familiar with that.
Yes, I am.
Coleman has a second job where he delivers chicken wings on the and other food on the West Bank.
And this week has been brutal.
Yeah, you're not a fan of the cold.
Then you knock on the door and it takes them 8 minutes to get to the door. It's like, come on, I'm freezing out here.
But when you see places like Popeyes and Domino's running out of food and going through so much food so quickly, and they can't get it, they can't get backup delivered because the weather is so bad. You know, I saw something on Facebook. I don't even know if it was a news story or a meme. I'm having a tough time lately figuring out which one is which. But there was a picture of a couple of Domino's workers just in their kitchen in San Antonio, Texas, in the Domino's restaurant, and there was just emptiness in front of them where there should have been cheese and pepperoni and whatever else you like on your pizza sauce. And it was all empty in front of them. And they were just, one of them was sitting on the floor with their head down. The other was standing up, but hands on knees, bending over with their head down. And the headline was, "Every American should be forced to work in retail like this for 1 year." And I'm thinking to myself, what? No thanks. And as we've said on this show a bunch of times, working in retail, it's not fun. And the reason why it's not fun is because you have to deal with other people constantly. You know, I had a friend who worked at one of the coolest music stores in the state of Massachusetts when I was on the radio in Boston. And I had a friend, he was a part-time DJ at the radio station. This is when I was on WAAF. And he worked weekends on the radio station, but during the week he had to do something, and he worked at one of the coolest music stores. Now this is, I'm going back 15, 20 years now. This is when there were actually music stores that made money selling music. You could say it was before the internet was huge and everybody was able to listen to their music for free on the internet. But he said he loved working at the store. He loved the people he worked with. He loved the bosses. He loved being around music all the time because all day long you listen to music in the music stores. You can listen to new music and loved all that. But he said as soon as people started coming in and he had to deal with people, he said that's when he felt like jumping out of a window. He said he liked everything about that except working in retail, except for having to deal with people day in and day out. And now I can understand more what he was talking about with the advent of the internet, and you see how people act in videos that go viral, and you see Karens, call them whatever you want to call them, but you see people in stores, and now I know exactly what my buddy who I used to work with at the radio station in Boston.
I wonder what
now I know what he was talking about, because back then we didn't have the internet, Coleman, and we didn't see how people acted in stores.
I wonder what the Domino's franchisees were thinking because I'm thinking like this. We've worked at our store at night. We've worked through hurricanes, and there's been times where the electricity would go out for days because of the hurricane damage, or we couldn't get product in from another state because of the hurricane damage, like down power lines, down trees or whatever, the roads were blocked off. In a situation like that where we would run out of product or the electricity would go out and we couldn't serve the customers, we'd just shut the doors and go home. Like, there was no reason, if they ran out of all these cheese and they're just sitting there with their heads held low and all that, just tell them to go home, just clock out, go home. Wait till another day. We'll wait till the roads open up. We'll wait for the power to come back on. There's no reason for the employees to still be there. Shut the store down and just take a day.
This is the second radio station I've worked at in my 13 years in New Orleans. And the first station I worked at, there were a couple of hurricanes where I actually, along with the rest of the staff, well, not all of them, but a few of them, moved into the radio station.
I remember that.
Yeah, we got a lot of beer. I remember that. But we did 2 or 3 hours on, then we would be 2 or 3 hours off, then we would be back on the air for 2 or 3 hours.
And you were telling me about the smell?
Oh, after a few days, the smell got brutal, Coleman. It got brutal over there on Howard Avenue. Whew, that was, But we were doing what we were supposed to do. We're a radio station in New Orleans. It was a hurricane. You're on 24/7. You move in there. You stay there. But I think you were right. You didn't misspoke when you were talking about franchises at like different Domino's pizza franchises when you by mistake called them franchises. At Domino's, it is a franchise at Domino's because they go through so much cheese. That's actually what it is. All right, we have a lot to do on the show this morning. Oh, and by the way, you know how another border state with Texas is Arkansas. And what's interesting is there's one town on the border. Is it Texarkana? That's why they call it that. But there's a road where one half of the road is in Arkansas. The other half of the road is in Texas. And during this last snow that they got, people in Texas are mad at the authorities in Arkansas because an Arkansas plow went down the road and only plowed the Arkansas side of the road, left the Texas side of the road full of snow. And people in Texas are saying, plow dare they. If you're going to plow the road, don't just plow the Arkansas side. Why don't you plow the whole road in our side too? That's a wild story. We got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You seen Bill Gates recently? He seems to be an expert on everything. You know, the guy who became the richest man in the world, and he slipped now. He's still in the top five. But he seems to be an expert on coronavirus. He seems to be an expert on climate change. I've seen interviews with this guy, and he seems to be an expert on everything. And I know him and his wife, Melinda, they're very charitable. They give out millions and millions and millions of dollars, which is great. And I just read where the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is bankrolling a group of activists who believe math is racist. They think math is racist. I don't think math is racist, but I will admit that division is divisive. Here on a Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. Right now in the city of New Orleans, it's literally freezing because it's 32 degrees. 32 degrees is freezing. That's the number. You know, we hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm freezing, but it's when it's over 32 degrees, it's like, no, you're not. You're cold. That's like saying you're starving when you're really hungry. No, you're not. You're not starving. You're really hungry because on the planet, there are people who are literally starving. So when you're hungry, when you're really hungry, you're hungry. That's what you are. You're not starving. And when it's really cold outside, or when you're cold, whether you're inside or outside, and you say, I'm freezing, usually you're not freezing because it's not 32 degrees or below 32 degrees. You know, on Mardi Gras Day, Coleman, on Fat Tuesday, 3 days ago, even though there was no Mardi Gras this year because Mardi Gras was canceled because of coronavirus, we broke the record in the city of New Orleans for the coldest temperature ever on that date. And I remember after our show, I was walking around and it was freezing because it was under 32 degrees. As a matter of fact, we couldn't even say it was freezing because it was less than freezing when the temperatures were in the upper 20s. This will come and it will go. It's going to be warm in a couple of days. As a matter of fact, today, even though right now it's freezing, today it will warm up. Right now it's 32 degrees, but the high today in New Orleans will be 48.
That's not enough. I can't do 48. Anything under 69, I can't do.
Ah, that's just that's what happens. I mean, you know, you're born and raised here in New Orleans, and just not used to the cold temps like this. You know, once in a while, we're used to that once in a while, but not so many days where it's literally freezing. As a matter of fact, up in northern Louisiana, up in Shreveport, it's rough up there. They bunch of people up there, they've had no water service, no hot water for a while. And I saw this one story of a Louisiana family in Shreveport who are bathing their kids in crawfish pots. They've got young kids. Good thing these kids aren't like 15 years old and 16 years old. You'd need a really, really large crawfish pot. But I saw this one story about the Harper family in Shreveport. One of their daughters shared a picture on Twitter, on her Twitter page. And it's of her younger sister inside of a crawfish pot being bathed.
So I'm guessing with no water service, they couldn't use a hose pipe. So would they use gallon water, Kentwood water bottles to put the water into the crock pot, then turn the crock pot on with gas?
Or maybe they can get some, maybe that, Coleman. Maybe they're using bottled water. Or maybe they can get some water out of a hose or out of a, but it's just slowly coming out, and it's very cold. There's no hot water. I don't know how they filled up the crawfish pot to bathe their young daughter. I didn't. All it says is, we have no hot water in our house, and this is how we're bathing young children.
Here's how miserable my life is. So yesterday when I was leaving work, they told me, oh yeah, before you leave, we don't have a dishwasher. You have to wash dishes. And none of the hot water valves work. I had to wash dishes in cold water after I took out the trash in the rain. So imagine me coming inside the store from taking out the trash in a misty rain, then having to stick my waters in three cold sinks to wash dishes before I was able to leave work. That sucked. And then when I left work, my hands had the little raisin thing going on, and it was just freezing cold. I had to reevaluate. There's times like that where I reevaluate my life choices.
You know, that sucks, Coleman. And we're working on it. I'm trying to get you a few more bucks here at the radio station so you don't have to do that every night. And, you know, when you just said the term misty rain, mm-hmm. I just thought, what a great name for a stripper or a porn star, Misty Rain.
This texter just solved the mystery for us. They were using the snow. So they gathered the snow that was around their house.
Fill up the crawfish, the large crawfish pot with snow, and then you just got to wait a little while. And then after that, what do? I guess you put that over your fireplace or something like that.
This text message says, I'm with Coleman. Anything below 69, I can't handle it. I'm too southern for this.
Yeah, this is something. And I just read, I know in Alaska they're used to this, but listen to this story quickly. Alaska woman visits outhouse. Bear takes bite out of her backside.
Ouch.
An Alaska woman, she wasn't doing this because she had to. She was camping with her brother at a lake the last few days. So imagine that. In Alaska, they're not having the problems we're having here in Louisiana and in Texas with our pipes freezing, not having any water, not having any heat in the homes. In Alaska, they're used to all of that stuff. This woman decided to go camping this week. And it's very cold there, too. An Alaska woman who was camping with her brother. Now that...
Yeah, let's not judge.
Yeah, I don't want to judge there. I mean, at a lake over in Alaska... She literally nearly had to kiss her ass goodbye. She went into an outhouse. She says, quote, I got in there and sat down on the toilet seat, and something just immediately bit me in the butt, said Shannon Stevens.
Is it really camping if you're using an outhouse? Isn't that kind of like cheating? When you're roughing it, like, you don't have the amenities like outhouses and stuff like that you're supposed to use. So this is kind of like cheating, right? She was supposed to go use the grass and the snow.
Well, she used the outhouse, Coleman.
Well, that's what you get for cheating.
And then she said after that, quote, I jumped up and screamed. The commotion got the attention of her brother, Eric Stevens, who said he ran over to the outhouse. He says, quote, I take the headlamp and I grab the lid of the toilet seat and I lift it up right at the level of the toilet seat, maybe an inch or two below, is a gigantic bear face looking right back up at me.
Oh, so the bear fell under the outhouse?
No, the bear walked in from the outside and got underneath the toilet of the outhouse.
Yeah, that's what I asked.
The duo, the brother and sister, ran back to shelter, cleaned up her injuries, which were not serious, and then they hunkered down for the night. The next morning, they found tracks leading from the campfire to the outhouse, but the bear itself was gone. So they saw the bear footprints walking into the outhouse, but the bear was gone.
So, but bears have a keen sense of smell. You would think the bear would smell under the outhouse and probably say, this is probably not the best spot to try to hibernate or find a warm, cozy corner, right?
Maybe they're thinking, hey, something just left this smell. I want to find out what left this crappy smell. But the bigger question I have about this whole story, about her getting bit in the butt by a bear while she's in an outhouse, taking a dump this week when it's so cold, the hell is she doing camping with? It's just her and her brother that are there? And then they had to run back into the house to hunker down for the night? What's going on up there in Alaska?
Let's not judge. Here's what we take away from the story. And women should know this because they're better at it. Always look before you sit or squat.
Yeah, even if you're an Alaska woman visiting an outhouse and a bear takes a bite out of your rump. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And we were just talking about a family up in Shreveport. It's so cold and they don't have water. That they took a giant crawfish pot and they filled it up with snow so the snow would melt. And then they boiled the water like a crawfish boil and they used it for their young daughter to take a bath. So instead of a crawfish boil, it was a crawfish bath for a young child in that one family. People are doing whatever they have to do to get by in this extremely cold weather here in Louisiana, and see what's happening in Texas. My God, it's a nightmare over there. And people are doing what they got to do. I've never seen that before. Seen plenty of crawfish boils. Never saw a giant crawfish pot used to bathe young children when it's pretty rough outside. You see who's back in the news, Coleman?
Who's that?
Or should I say, you see who's still in the news, Coleman? Gorilla Glue Girl says her $23,000 GoFundMe is now under investigation, and she hasn't been able to access the $23,000 that was raised on her behalf. The Gorilla Glue Girl from right here in St. Bernard Parish. Her name's Tessica Brown. And she made international headlines by putting Gorilla Glue in her hair, and her hair got stuck. Her ponytail got stuck in the same ponytail for a month. She then went to the hospital in St. Bernard Parish. And the hospital gave her some stuff, but she said that the hospital in DeParish didn't really help her. So she ended up flying out to Los Angeles, California, because a surgeon in Beverly Hills, California, a surgeon from Ghana, who is now doing very well for himself in Beverly Hills, California, he's a plastic surgeon to some celebrities out there. She flew out there, and he did the $12,000 surgery, the scalping. He did it for her for free, pro bono. And then she said, because we talked about this on the show, she was going to take $20,000 from that GoFundMe that was raised on her behalf, and she was going to donate it to a charity that her surgeon in Beverly Hills, I guess he either told her about it or he runs it or he has something to do with it. And they that charity does surgeries for people who need it. It's like life-changing, in some instances, life-saving surgeries for people overseas. People who don't have the money to pay for it. And so she was going to donate $20,000 from her GoFundMe that was raised for her to that. But I don't think she's been able to make that donation yet. Because even though Gorilla Glue Girl, St. Bernard Parish native and resident, Tessica Brown, even though her tresses are finally free of Gorilla Glue because of that surgeon out there in California, she's still tangled up in a sticky situation. She claims she cannot access that $23,000 raised on her behalf through a GoFundMe fundraiser that helped her get out of that hairy ordeal. She said Wednesday that the online pledge, the GoFundMe, is being investigated by the crowdfunding site following allegations of fraud. So GoFundMe is actually looking into the $23,000 that was raised, and it's not letting her take it out. Again, the $20,000 of it she was going to donate to that charity. They're investigating it because of allegations of fraud, Coleman. And I know that you have sent her a friend request on Facebook, but you haven't heard anything back from her yet.
Still not yet, no.
Gorilla Glue Girl says, quote, "They won't even release it to me because that many people have called and said it was a fraudulent account. Every time you look at it, it says it's under investigation." It's something how the public greatly empathized with the St. Bernard Parish Gorilla Glue Girl and her now viral plight. When it was first set up, the goal was $1,500, and that quickly got smashed on GoFundMe, and supporters raised almost $24,000 to date, and the donations keep coming in. But she's unable to get at that money because GoFundMe, they are looking into it because they've been tipped off to fraud there. So how possibly could that happen?
Here's how. First of all, it wasn't her. She didn't start the GoFundMe. Somebody started it on her behalf.
That's what it says.
So somebody, whoever started the GoFundMe maybe has some ulterior motives or something like that and try to capitalize on this GoFundMe girl's situation. Because that has happened a few times where something happens in the news and some third party who has nothing to do with what's going on with the major news starts to GoFundMe on that person's behalf. And then when the money comes in, they don't really give the money to the cause that they said that they were going to start it for. And they
what a shocker. Anybody could set up a GoFundMe. Any one of the hundreds of millions of people, actually billions of people, could set up a GoFundMe and money comes flying in. And we've seen it. We've seen them in good situations before. Mm-hmm. We've seen them in stories where, you know, people, they were out of work. They went back to work. Something happened with their job, whatever the case may be. So those stories have made news. People see those stories. They set up GoFundMes. And most of the time, you know, whether you agree or disagree with it, it's not fraud. It's a scenario where some people see that someone else would need money, other people would donate, and those people would get that money. But I'm sure there are plenty of situations when it comes to GoFundMes where maybe people are being lied to, mm-hmm. and it's the people setting up the GoFundMe. They just want the money for themselves. And right. They don't want to have to work for it or go through hell for it. And so now I guess GoFundMe, they have a very good fact checker, a real fact checker program to see if people are donating money to a cause that they think they're donating it to, or they're being scammed.
Here's the easy fix. After they conclude the investigation, GoFundMe can do one of two things. They can either say, give everyone their money back, and then those who donated to the GoFundMe, Tessica herself could start her own GoFundMe, and the people who donated to the first account, whether it's fraudulent or not, can just donate to her directly. Or GoFundMe can say, look, the person who started the account may have asked some ulterior motives, but for the people who wanted to donate, we can still allow Tessica herself to still gain the money. So they can either give the money back to those who donated, or they can just give it to her directly and just cut out the person that was being fraudulent.
Well, Coleman, the Gorilla Glue Girl, Tessica Brown, the Gorilla Glue Girl from St. Bernard Parish, she hasn't been able to access.
She will, though. She will. I think GoFundMe is going to do the right thing. I think they're going to say, even if they find the weird link that's messing all of this up, even if they find the fraudulent activity, those people who donate to her really did want her to have the money. That's why they sent it. So she should be able to still give the money, because that was the intent of the GoFundMe in the first place.
And we've seen a second Gorilla Glue Girl try to make it with her story of putting Gorilla Glue in her hair by mistake. That went viral this week as well, although people aren't having the same reaction to her. They're saying, go bleep yourself. You know, if you're going to be that stupid to put Gorilla Glue in your hair and have it get stuck there for a month, you have to be original. You have to be like the original Gorilla Glue Girl from St. Bernard Parish in Louisiana. You can't be a copycat. So she's not getting anything, the second Gorilla Glue Girl, for putting the Gorilla Glue Girl in her hair. And, you know, there's a bunch of people that think the original Gorilla Glue Girl shouldn't have gotten anything. She's so dumb to put the Gorilla Glue Girl in her hair.
But they don't have to donate. That's it. If you think she made a mistake and you don't think she deserves the money, you don't have to donate your own money. But for those who do believe and they want to give her the money, it's their right to do what they want to do with their money.
But they see so many people out of work because of coronavirus, or so many people struggling to feed their families. They don't have GoFundMe set up yet.
Anybody can do that. Anybody can make a GoFundMe for any reason they want. So if those people feel like, well, no, the people who suffer from COVID should get the money, or people who are struggling with this should get the money, just start up a GoFundMe for that. I'm quite sure people would donate.
But there's a lot of people who are upset that a woman who was dumb enough to put a bunch of Gorilla Glue in her hair and have her hair stuck in the same ponytail for a month, that she's getting bailed out now.
But the thing is, she was going to donate the money to charity, so it's not even like she's really profiting off the GoFundMe money. She might profit off of merch, but she had intentions
to give
the money.
And as we've mentioned on the show, she wants to donate 20 of that $1,000 to her surgeon's charity, where they give big surgeries to people that can't afford them overseas. But she's hired not only an agent, but she's got a whole fame team behind her now. And she's got merchandise, sweatshirts that she's selling, t-shirts with Gorilla Glue Girl. And so she is. I don't know if she's going to get rich off of this, but she's going to make a bunch of money off of putting a bunch of Gorilla Glue in her hair.
Texas said it was released already. Got a news release this morning, so I'll check.
Oh, breaking news!
Yeah, well,
Breaking news! So she is getting the almost $24,000, which she's going to donate $20,000 to her surgeon's charity. So thank you, Texter. We always appreciate it when you text the show here on Bayou.
Wait, it is confirmed she is getting the money after the investigation. So there it is.
Breaking
Live
news.
Update during the segment.
So it looks like there hasn't been much fraud in that GoFundMe account. And she is getting, thank you for the text. We always appreciate them on this show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. You know what I love about rock and roll? Well, besides the blaring guitars, the great rhythm sections, the fantastic drum beats along with bass. You know what I really love about rock and roll? A million things. But one of the things at the top of that list is that the lyrics in some songs, they use metaphors. They could mean different things to different people when you hear a singer sing a line. And then you've got songs that aren't like that at all. There's no metaphor. You got to fight for your right to party. It means the same thing to everybody. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Coleman and I were just having a discussion here in the studio when that last song was playing by Rush. And we were confused over a joke, because we work on jokes. We write jokes. I have another person who I work with when it comes to some of the jokes you hear on our show. And, well, okay, I'll give you an example. Here's two. Both of these happened today in history. All right? On this day, in 1878, Thomas Edison received a patent for his phonograph, the record player. Edison invented that. Today he got his patent for that in 1878. It was an instant hit with music lovers who used it to play Madonna records. Now, we have fun because Madonna's getting old. But we know what the punchline is there. It's Madonna's getting old. She's old. Now, here's another one. On this day, in 1473, something happened. Today in 1473, astronomer Nicholas Copernicus was born. He's a famous astronomer, Nicholas Copernicus.
Copernicus.
Yeah, Nicholas Copernicus. He was born today in 1473, that famous astronomer. Back then, there were no telescopes, obviously. I mean, he was born in 1473. But that required him to observe celestial bodies through a paper towel roll. Now, that on itself is pretty funny, but then I'm thinking to myself, there were no paper towels in 1473 either. There couldn't have been paper towels in 1473, just like there were no telescopes.
Right.
And so Coleman and I were arguing why that is funny. I said, Coleman, there were no paper towel rolls in 1473, to which you said,
That's the joke. That's the punchline. The punchline is that, of course, there are no, it's the silliness. It's supposed to be overly ridiculous. Just like the previous joke, we all know Madonna wasn't alive when the telegraph or the phonograph came out, but that's part of the joke.
But no, that is the joke with Madonna.
Right.
That she's old. That's right? The punchline.
That's the joke, right.
The punchline here, do you really think that the joke is that people are going to realize there were no paper towels in 1473? Or is the joke, here's this great astronomer, but before the telescope was invented, there he is on his roof with a paper towel roll looking through that.
So the fact that there weren't no paper towel rolls, it cancels the joke for you. They should have used another item. Maybe he looked at the telescope with his hands balled up like a circle or something like that. Or what do you think the punchline should have been?
Yes, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The joke is not that there were no paper towels in 1473, like there were no telescopes in 1473. I don't think people are just going to hear that, and they're going to think of a famous astronomer before the telescope was invented on his roof looking through an empty paper towel roll.
Okay, if I would have wrote the joke, you celestial bodies, I would have went with the low-hanging fruit. I would have went with Uranus. He was looking at Uranus through a paper towel roll, see? That way it could kind of blend in with the whole paper towel theme, or toilet tissue theme, see? Copernicus was, before the telescope, Copernicus was looking at Uranus through a paper towel roll. That's how I would have worded it.
Even though in 1473 was Uranus?
I don't know. You have to name him. This text says, there's a third option. The joke isn't funny.
Well, thank you. But I just, these are the things we talk about here. When we're putting a radio show together, doing a radio show, these are some of the things we do. Well, anyways. Copernicus was born today in 1473. Hey, coming up next on the show. Some are calling it the most realistic television show that ever came out of New Orleans, at least when it comes to New Orleans culture and the way New Orleanians talk and the way things are. That show's coming to an end. We got some details on that coming up next. Hang out with us. Don't forget, we've got the dumbest thing I read. Might be the dumbest thing I read all week. That's coming up. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. We've seen some famous people on social media post when they get their coronavirus vaccine shot. And the latest one I saw was the singer from the band Kiss, Paul Stanley. He just posted a video about how he received his coronavirus vaccination. And I thought for a second, I'm like, I guess he's old enough, because the people that are allowed to get it now are first, it was first responders and people over the age of 65. And we saw one where this woman up in New York a couple of weeks ago, remember that? She's not old, but she said she was a teacher and she taught some celebrities how to stay in shape. And she goes, well, I'm an educator that way. But she posted her picture and her getting the vaccine. But a lot of people slammed her. She's like, you're not old enough. You're not really a teacher. You know, you do some workouts with celebrities, but you're not old. Why are you getting the damn vaccine? Shouldn't older people than you be getting it right now and real teachers be getting it? She took a lot of crap for it. As a matter of fact, she took so much crap for it, she just got off of Instagram, Twitter, wherever the hell she was on social media, posting that. And we were talking about that's what famous people do when they tweet something or they put something on Instagram or Facebook and they think they're being creative or good or whatever, but it backfires on them. Then they just eliminate their social media accounts. That's what famous people do. Alec Baldwin did that. He got off of Twitter because of his wife. He was taking so much crap, his latest wife, for her lying about her upbringing, saying that her name's Hilaria and she's from Spain. Her name's really Hillary and she's from Boston.
Boston.
And she was taking so much crap for that. Alec Baldwin just got off of social media. That's what famous people do when it backfires on them. But Paul Stanley from Kiss just the other day said he got his coronavirus vaccination. Well, here in Louisiana, a new group of people starting Monday are going to be able to get their coronavirus vaccination. And look, I'm no big fan of the vaccine, but if they're telling us we need 80% of America to get vaccinated to stop coronavirus from spreading the way it is and for us to get back to our lives, well, as close to normal as possible, they were before coronavirus, then hell, I'll do it. I mean, look, I'm no fan of the vaccination, but if they're telling me that this is what we need, if the quote-unquote experts are saying this is what we need 80% of this country to get vaccinated for us to get back to as close as normal as possible before it was before the coronavirus, then all right, I'll do it. I'll join Paul Stanley. Well, here in Louisiana, starting Monday, the COVID vaccine will be available for all kindergarten through 12th grade teachers and school staff, for all school staff, and for some people, 55 years old and older, for some people. And again, this starts on Monday. Louisiana Governor John Taco Bell Edwards is opening up eligibility for the COVID-19 vaccine, the coronavirus vaccination shot, to all kindergarten through 12 teachers and all school staff and all daycare workers, as well as people 55 years old and older who have certain health conditions. That change allows almost 500,000 people in Louisiana to get the vaccine starting on Mondays. The people that are 55 years of age or older, because right now it's everyone who's 65 and older can get jabbed. But people who are 55 years old in between the age of 55 and 64 with at least one of these health conditions listed by the CDC, the feds, which put them at an increased risk of severe illness or makes them more of a chance of dying if they get coronavirus. People who have, again, this is for the age of 55 years old to 64 years old. People who smoke, who are age 55 to 64, they're able to get it. Isn't that something? How if you're 55 and you're not a smoker, you can't get it starting on Monday, the vaccination. You could add to that list people who are age 55, in between age 55 and 64, people who have cancer can get it starting Monday in that age group. People in that age group who have COPD, that's the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, they can get it. People with Down syndrome who are in between ages 55 and 64. People who have heart conditions. People who have sickle cell disease. People with severe obesity. And people who just have regular obesity. I thought they were already allowed to get it.
They were.
Didn't matter what age they were, but no, they weren't. You're not allowed to get that unless, again, you're age in between 55 and 64, and you're either obese or severely obese. You can get the vaccination for COVID starting on Monday. and people with type 2 diabetes. I can relate to that. But you got to be age 55 to 64 to get there. I'm not there yet, so I'm still going to have to wait.
Well, when it does become available to your demographic, John, are you willing to walk 3 miles in freezing cold weather to go get the vaccination?
Like that woman, that old woman we talked about from Seattle the other day?
Yeah.
On the show? I don't know if I'd walk 3 miles. Maybe I would. Or I'll just wait until it cools and until the weather warms up a little bit. And all people on dialysis, people who not only get dialysis, but people who provide dialysis, they can get it starting Monday if they're only age 55 to 64. And all pregnant persons. I don't know how many pregnant women there are out there that are 55 years old in between that age and 64.
See, that now that adds a whole other risk that I never thought about. Does the vaccine negatively affect those who are with child? Like, or should we wait until, because we still don't know what the long-term effects of the vaccine is. And now that just adds a whole new dynamic that I haven't even considered. How does the vaccination affect those that are with child? Or maybe the placenta has its own, you know, little antibodies and stuff that could protect the child for any adverse effects of the vaccine. But that's interesting to think of.
Ambulatory and outpatient providers and staff, they can, if they're only age between 55 and 64, they can get the coronavirus vaccine starting on Monday. Behavior health providers and staff, urgent care clinic providers and staff. I thought those people should have already, aren't urgent care clinic providers and their staff, aren't they first responders?
Well, maybe they're just adding to the list, like, they were already available, but they still are till this day. It's kind of like it's opening up. Not saying just specifically for teachers, just specifically for 55-year-olds with certain health conditions. I think they're just opening up the gap wider to include more people.
Well, dental providers and staff, again, age 55 to 64, you can get it if you're a dental provider or you work at a dental provider starting Monday. And then non-emergency medical transportation providers and staff. And the list goes on. Law enforcement and other first responders. American Sign Language and foreign language interpreters and support service. So if you do sign language and your age in between 55 and 64, you can get the coronavirus vaccine on Monday. So it is opening up. I already thought some of those people should have been already able to get it and should have been on the list already. But they say it's going to affect about 500,000 more people in Louisiana residents to get the vaccine. And again, this all starts on Monday. The new guidelines go into effect Monday, which is February 22nd.
I can predict that the younger the demographic gets that the vaccine is available for, the least people will want to take it. Like when it gets to like the 40s and 30s, 40-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 20-year-olds are going to be like, I don't want to. Yeah, even though I can, I don't feel like I should. Watch what I tell you.
Well, we're going to get to that point.
Right.
Coming up soon. I was going to ask you, Coleman, because when are you going to get it? I mean, I'm going to get it. I'm still not on any of these lists yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess when the day comes when I do get on one of these lists, I'll go get it somewhere. You're probably the same way, right?
Well, yeah. My employee says you have to go get it, I will. But if it's optional, I'll take my chance.
Who do you work for, the Vatican? Because the Vatican is an employer that says, look, you better get it if you work here.
Right.
You know, over in Vatican City, you better get it or you're not going to be able to come to work here. They're saying that now.
Yeah, because so far the Jaeger shots have been working. I seem to have a developing immunity because of the Jaeger shots that I drank. But if my employer says, hey, we'll feel more comfortable if you get the vaccine, I'm not against it. Whatever.
If they're telling us, look, neither Coleman and I want to get this, but if they're telling us 80% of Americans need to get this to get coronavirus to stop spreading, then I guess I'll do what they tell us if that's what they're telling us. Because all I want is for everybody to be able to get back to work, everybody be able to make money and feed their families again, things that haven't been happening in the last 11 and a half months. That's what I want. Hey, coming up on the show, I got the dumbest thing I read. I don't know if it's all morning or all week. I'm still trying to figure that one out. And Before that, a television show that most closely resembled how New Orleanians, how we lived, how New Orleanians, what it was like around here. The closest thing to being reality-based, that television show is coming to an end. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So the show NCIS New Orleans is coming to an end this spring. This is its seventh and final season. Coleman, did you watch NCIS New Orleans? I didn't.
Nah, no.
I've never watched any of the NCIS shows. Although, if I was flipping through and I saw New Orleans, the city, my home, and it being featured on that show, I would watch it a little bit, but I was not a regular NCIS New Orleans watcher.
I never watched any of the alphabet shows, NCIS, CSBU, CSI. I never watched any of them.
But they figure the show did a lot of good for around here. It actually, besides being shot on location in the streets of New Orleans and the New Orleans metropolitan region, its soundstage that it used was in Harahan. That's where they, it's called the NIMS Center. That's where they shot the inside. A bunch of the inside scenes. They figure that show spent about $92 million per season locally here.
Cha-ching.
Because they had, and it hired a lot of local people. They had about 200 crew members. So do the math. If it spent $92 million per season locally here, $92 million times seven seasons. That's a lot of money. And the show also, it paid back as much as 40% of local production costs, meaning the show has earned state tax breaks in the tens of millions of dollars over its run. It was the biggest budget for any locally shot television show. And it basically showed a bunch of New Orleans and a bunch of New Orleans culture. And it didn't have bad New Orleans accents like TV shows in the past have had, movies in the past that were shot around here have had. And, you know, NCIS, when you look at NCIS New Orleans, the show ran on CBS. It'll be 7 years. When you even if you didn't watch the show, if you look back, the money that it not only spent here but produced, and the people that it hired and gave jobs to and employed over 7 years, I think it will be missed.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't NCIS New Orleans that show where they were shooting a scene with a jewelry bank heist? And the scene was so convincing that the people standing by called the police because they thought it was a real
jewelry. That happened in Chalmette.
Right. I want to make sure that was the same show.
Yeah, that happened in St. Bernard Parish, that story. We talked about that story on the show. But it will be missed. All the money that was around it. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. It might be the dumbest thing I read all week. I'm still not sure yet. Stay tuned for that next. Oh, I'll tell you. I'll give you a hint. If you or I made this mistake where we worked, not only would we be fired, they would want us in jail. That's next on The Dumbest Thing. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterland Morning Show. And I just mentioned how after 7 years, the television show NCIS New Orleans, which aired on CBS, is coming to an end this spring. And it stinks because for 7 years, they spent a lot of money here. Again, $92 million per season. That's the estimation, what the money that they spent around here. Plus, they hired a bunch of people local in front of the camera and behind the camera people, local musicians. A lot of people got paid by that show. And if you're wondering why it's coming to an end this spring after its seventh season, the ratings are down. That's why. And the star of that show was also an executive producer of that show. His name is Scott Bakula. He said, quote, "Sad to end our love affair with this phenomenal city, but so grateful for all the friends we made along the way. I will miss the music. Big thank you to CBS for 7 years." So that's what Scott Bakula, the star and the executive, one of the executive producers of that show, had to say. All right, it's time for me to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. I mean, this could be the dumbest thing I read all week. I mean, since it's Friday. But how would you like to have been the employee that did this? Citibank can't get back $500 million it accidentally wired to the company Revlon. And they made this mistake. Somebody that worked at Citibank made the mistake of sending $500 million to the wrong place. But the wrong place happened to be the company Revlon. They make makeup. Revlon's like, "I'm not giving this back." And Citibank went to a judge, and the judge just ruled Citibank can't get back the $500 million it accidentally wired to Revlon.
Cha-ching.
Citigroup has lost out on an attempt to retrieve the more than $500 million it mistakenly wired last year to a group of companies that loaned money to embattled cosmetics firm Revlon, marking what could be the end of a lengthy saga sparked by a massively costly mishap from one of the nation's largest banks. So Coleman, someone who worked at Citibank, accidentally wired $500 million to the wrong people, and now they can't get it back. You know, that would never happen if a bank mistakenly gave us a couple of million dollars just as bank customers, and we one day looked at our bank account and said, "Man, I got an extra $2 million in there." I wouldn't be able to keep that. I have to give that back to the bank. But not in this case.
I mean, I guess Revlon had a great lawyer team. I mean, you could afford it with an extra $500 million.
Yeah, all the people that lent Revlon money, yeah, all of them, they're like, "No. This money you just wired to us." Isn't that something how that works?
Imagine being the guy that accidentally hit the send button to that wire transfer.
$500 million from your company. That guy had to be fired.
Of course.
United States District Judge Jesse Furman ruled in favor of 10 investment advisory firms that collectively received more than $500 million in mistaken wire transfers from Citibank, according to this week's court ruling. Wow. So, Citi, that's C-I-T-I, Citibank. Citi can't get back the $500 million it accidentally wired to Revlon lenders. A federal judge ruled this week. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And that's the dumbest thing that any employee that I can think of who works anywhere did, not only this week, but ever.
You know, John, I've accidentally sent text messages to the wrong people. I've accidentally, like, dialed the wrong number. I've accidentally sent emails to the wrong people. But it's easy to say, "Hey, my bad, just disregard that." But with something like this, imagine being that guy that has to email Citibank and say, "Hey, can we have that $500 million back before my boss finds out?" Wow.
Yeah, who's my manager? I just accidentally sent $500 million to the wrong people, and we're never getting it back. Jesus. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.